Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
After the hour, thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Lennox Cornwall is here, too. He's back. Lennox is a recovering corporate banker. He's enjoying his life here in America, having been grown up in England. He's a franchise owner. He's an entrepreneur. He's a global thinker in terms of helping people with their businesses like yours and mine, and an author, the author of Embracing Failure, Your Key to Success. And he's our good friend, Lennox Cornwall. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Some sins are obviously never forgiven. You keep on bringing up the fact that I was a corporate banker every time I speak with you. Come on.
Well, yeah, but I just like to remind people. You know, I want to keep you on edge a little bit there, Lennox. It's always to my advantage just to keep you on a little bit of edge there. So anyway, I was telling the audience before you got here that a lot of people love being small business owners. But not everyone loves the business that they own. And there's a way to solve that, isn't there?
Absolutely. There is a way to solve that. And I see so many small business owners who have this wonderful dream of getting out of corporate life, for example, and freeing themselves by owning their own business. But what happens is, instead of them owning the business owns them, and it becomes a life of drudgery. Mm-hmm. So I want to share some things today that can either help somebody get out of that situation or prevent them from getting into the situation in the first place if they're thinking about launching a business.
Can I stick one thing in here? I completely agree with everything you said, but I want to make sure people realize in the process, even the business that you love and that you're always going to love, in the process of growing that business, it's going, even the best one is going to own you for a while. So don't, that part of it, you're not going to be able to stop, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Jim. But I'm looking at the long-term gain.
I know. I just don't want people to think if they love being a business owner, they love their business. But right now, you know, it's sort of like, you know, when you have a teenager, you love them, but you don't like them. You know, you're going to go through that process. So go ahead and continue your thought.
Absolutely. Everything that grows has growing pains, so those will never go away. But I just want to share several things. The first one really is, and I've just called it don't hatch cuckoos. And what I mean by that, Jim, is that a cuckoo lays its egg in another bird's nest, and it's forcing that other bird to raise its young. So the natural bird will hatch that chick, and then the chick hatches before the natural mother's eggs hatch. Mm-hmm. It then pushes the eggs out of the nest. So it's absolutely ensuring its survival. And the reason I mention that is that we do that with other people's ideas. So oftentimes, we may start a business because it's somebody else's dream for us. So we, you know, even the same with a career. We may become a lawyer or a doctor because it's somebody else's idea for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we can avoid doing that in the first place, it is the absolute first step to freeing yourself from the tyranny of being owned by the business long term.
Let me give you an example of how that happens in America over the last generations a million times. And that's where the child grew up in the business and was expected to take the business, and they did. But by the time they got to be their mid-40s, they realized it was a big mistake.
Absolutely. I have a friend, I've lost touch with him now, Jeffrey, who I went to university with, and his father had a very successful industrial scales business. And he was the only heir, and he felt absolutely obliged to go into the business. And I remember on just about when we were going to leave university to go into the big wide world, he was so tormented with the burden of that, and he eventually did go into that business. initially had a very miserable time of it, mm-hmm. but managed eventually to turn it around.
Doesn't happen that way all the time. Much of the time, it works out great, but sometimes it doesn't. So that's a good example of that.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we absolutely must do is to make sure that we do an audit of ourselves before we go into anything. And I call this designing your lifestyle first. And so for me, I love traveling. So when I was looking at what businesses I wanted to get involved with, I knew that I had to have the flexibility to travel. So my business, my main business now, which is the coaching and consulting and writing, engages me in an awful lot of travel. Well, I love it because that's what I want to do in my personal life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was somebody who wanted to be home every night and every weekend, and I was traveling, I would be miserable. So in designing my lifestyle, I had to say, what kind of business is going to suit the lifestyle that I want? And that is a critical step in thinking, because if you don't do that, you will by default fall into a business that may conflict with how you want to live.
Well, that's exactly right, and it, you know, every industry has different expectations of you. Retail is tough, but it's not as tough as being in the restaurant business, the food business. I'll give you an agrarian example. You know, you may love to be a farmer. You may want to become a farmer. And you may want to raise livestock. That'd be great. That's great, right? But that doesn't mean that you want to become a dairy farmer. Two different things altogether. Make sure that when you decide you want to go into something, that raising livestock is one thing, but being a dairy farmer where the cows have to be milked twice a day, 365 days a year, you know, two different things from that from being, say, you know, a regular livestock owner. So anyway, these are the different things that you're going into. I've had people tell me, Lennox, that they want to start a restaurant, and I said, why? They said, because I love people, or I love to cook, right? Well, those aren't good reasons to become restaurant owners.
Definitely not. I've got an absolute live example, Jim, of an individual that I know who loved to be in bars. So he thought, well, I love being in bars. I may as well own one. His idea was that he was going to be mine host and spend as much time on the wrong side of the bar with his buddies than actually running it. And he found that, guess what? There was staff absenteeism and so on, and he had to fill in for staff that didn't turn up to work. So he was working a 12-hour day as a luxury.
Welcome to Small Business Ownership. Lennox, I need your website quickly.
Yes, www.lennox.com. Cool.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.